Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, April 25th, 2023. Joel.
All right, we have one announcement before we get started. This Sunday, after the second class, there will be a meeting for everyone involved in Vacation Bible School. Everyone involved. That includes teachers, helpers, crafters. It takes a team for Vacation Bible School, and it's been absolutely phenomenal in the past to see the team work together. We have the best of the best here because you have a spiritual life. And as a result of that spiritual life, you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And that results in great teamwork. And so this Sunday after the second class, a meeting for everyone involved in Vacation Bible School, teachers, helpers, crafters, etc., etc., etc. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure that there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord can actually cover 1,007 years. That's quite a day. It sometimes refers to the seven-year tribulation period, which is the 70th week of Daniel, the last part of the age of Israel. It also sometimes refers specifically to the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. He's coming back again the second time. And sometimes refers to the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. Sometimes it includes all of those: tribulation, second advent, and the millennial reign of Christ. That's the theme of the book of Joel. We have studied in Joel 2, verses 1 and 2, the corrected translation. So let's take a look at Joel 2, verses 1 and 2. Starts out in verse 1 with, "Give a blast," not "have a blast." "Give a blast on the shofar," the ram's horn. In other words, sound the alarm. "Sound the alarm in Zion and be caused to sound the alarm for war on my holy mountain. All the ones who are living in the land," that is, people living in Israel during the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, "will tremble with fear because the day of the Lord has arrived, because it is near." That is, imminent judgment and destruction is at hand. Verse 2, "A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like the dawn spreading out over the mountain, so a great and mighty army is being spread out over the land. There has absolutely not been anything like it from of old, nor ever will be again after it, even to the years of the future ages." Now, you always have to know what time in history that you are living. God has given us a perfect, 100% perfect timetable and an interpretation of history. We're living in the church age. The church age began at Pentecost. The church age will end with the rapture of the church. Following the rapture of the church, that's when the day of the Lord begins. Following the rapture of the church, we won't be here for the tribulation, not the first half when everything seems to be going real well, or the last half when the wheels come off the wagon. But we will come back with Jesus Christ at the second advent. We'll come back as His bride. Right now we're the body of Christ, but when we get to heaven we're the bride of Christ, and we will come back for a 1,000 year celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the 1,000 millennial reign of Christ. So we're living in the church age right now. We won't go through the tribulation, 7-year period. We will come back with Christ at the second advent, and we will reign with Christ throughout that 1,000-year millennial reign, millennial kingdom. Now, the book of Joel deals with the day of the Lord. During the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, God will pour out a holocaust on planet Earth, over the whole world. This is described in many passages. We noted one in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Daniel 12, verse 1 says, "Now at that time is the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Michael, the great prince who stands guard over," this is the archangel Michael, "who protects Israel, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of tribulation such as never occurred from the beginning of nations until that time. But at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued." And then the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here at the first advent, He declared that the Great Tribulation will be the worst Holocaust ever known to man. And he presented that in Matthew 24. You might want to turn back. We ended with this last time. We're going to start with it this evening. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, let's start at verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming? That is the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? The end of the age is the end of the age of Israel, which is the 7-year tribulation period. So Jesus answered and explained to them, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of hot wars and cold wars, wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, economic disasters, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me, the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of lawlessness. The love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be delivered. And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed in the whole world. Who will be proclaiming it? Well, the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Verse 15. So, when you see standing in the holy place, this is the temple, which will be rebuilt in Israel, the abomination that causes desolation, that is, the Antichrist, will enter into the holy place and declare himself to be God and demand that the world worship him as God. When you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. And then, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. You haven't got time to pack. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation. Great tribulation unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Now, Jesus Christ is God. There will never be greater suffering, greater death, greater destruction in all of human history than the Great Tribulation, the end of the Age of Israel. When you think back of all the holocausts of history and realize that the Great Tribulation will be far, far worse, then you begin to see how horrific the destruction and devastation on the whole world will be. The Great Tribulation will be greater in its effect on all of creation than any other period of human history. The horrific pain and suffering and death of mankind will never be greater than in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Jesus declared, if those days are not cut short, no one would survive. No one would survive. Matthew 24:22. That is, if the 7-year tribulation period were any longer, it's going to be 7 years, but if it were any longer, nothing would be left alive. Not man, not animal, not plants. Now the analogy changes in verse 3 from dawn to fire. It's very difficult for us in the United States of America to understand verses like these because we have not suffered from military invasion. Now I realize Hawaii, but as far as the continent goes, we have never had military invasion on the United States of America. So it's very difficult for Americans to understand what goes on in war when it's on your own nation, in your own nation, in your own state, in your own city. The devastation, the destruction of war in your city. In almost every other part of the world, enemy forces have invaded and wreaked havoc, destruction, devastation, and death. You could interpret and teach this passage in almost any other part of the world, and people would have an idea and understand what is going on. This is true of China, of Japan, Vietnam, Cambodia, Philippines, Asia. This is true of Europe. This is true of France and Germany and Poland and Czechoslovakia. This is true of Russia and Italy and Spain and Belgium and Holland. This is true of the Middle East, Israel, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia. This is true of Africa. I could teach this anywhere else in the world, and they would at least understand what it was like to have war in their own home. That's a little bit harder when you teach this to Americans. So by way of introduction, one, in Joel 2, verse 3, the military invasion, specifically here, it's of the king of the north in the Great Tribulation, which today would be Russia. In Joel 2:3, the military invasion of the king of the north in the Great Tribulation is compared to a fire that no one can control or put out. It's a fire, devastating fire that's totally out of control and no one can put it out. Two, it is a time of horrific death, destruction, and devastation. It's a time of horrific death, destruction, and devastation. Three, everything that was useful is now useless. Everything that was useful is now useless. for, everything that was worth something is now worthless. Everything that was worth something is now worthless. Five, the invading armies kill, rob, steal, rape, loot, and destroy. The invading armies kill, rob, steal, rape, loot, and destroy. Now, we're in trouble in the United States of America right now as we speak. Most of you can see that we have some major, major, major problems in our nation. Point six is the policy of our current administration in America guarantees that sooner or later we are going to have an enemy invasion in the United States of America. Guaranteed! The policy of our current administration in America guarantees that sooner or later we are going to have an enemy invasion in the United States of America. Seven, our current administration spends and spends and spends and spends and wants to spend more and more and more, but not on what really matters. The last president who did that was Ronald Reagan. He had money put aside for the military. Star Wars. And boy, that shook things up in around the world, in Russia and China. But we're spending and spending and spending and spending, giving money to people who don't want to work. We reward people for not working. They don't want to work in America anymore. They want handouts from the government. California. I tell you, there is something in the water over there. They want reparations. Millions and millions for everybody. Just give them to everybody. They deserve it. They haven't done anything, but they deserve millions and millions and millions. Socialists, socialism, liberalism, they'll spend and spend and spend and spend and hand out money. People coming, illegals coming over the border, no problem. Give them whatever they want. Give them money. Spend, spend, spend. Give them everything. And what does that guarantee? That guarantees economic disaster. The fourth cycle of discipline. Our economy will totally collapse. You know, the liberals and the socialists have a thing, started way back, and they called it the War on Poverty. Oh, it sounds good. War on poverty. Well, what does God say about that? I'm glad you asked. Turn over to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to get the divine viewpoint from Jesus Christ. Jesus, the liberals and socialists say one thing, and Jesus Christ says the opposite. Matthew 26, verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. I totally understand that. I totally understand. Perfume is very, very, very expensive. If you get real perfume, a little tiny biddly diddly nothing bottle is very, very expensive. So I tell Debbie, you get toilet water. Cheap. You pull it out of the toilet. I mean, no, not that. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on Jesus' head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why all this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. The disciples must be Democrats. Verse 10. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done an honorable thing. What she has done is great. What she has done is an honorable thing to me. The poor you will always have with you. That's from Jesus Christ. So will the war on poverty win? No! Will spending, spending, spending and giving it to the poor solve it? No! Jesus Christ said the poor you will have with you always. So spending, 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 spending will not remove poverty at all. It will only destroy the nation. Economic disaster. Jesus Christ says, the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is proclaimed throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. What she did was right. She was thinking divine viewpoint. She was thinking truth. But here we are. Spend, 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 giving money away to people who don't even want to work and thinking that that's going to solve poverty. And Jesus Christ said, the poor you will have with you always. 8. But we will cut out military spending. And we will destroy our oil and gas capability. We're heading to military disaster right there. We're going into our reserves because we are so stupid. We should be drilling for oil and gas all over America. There's enough oil and gas here for thousands of years. But what do? We cut out military spending and then we stop all drilling. In fact, this administration does every way possible to punish the oil industry and gas industry. That is evil, 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 evil. But we have liberalism and socialism. They have a plan. And that plan is to gain power. what they're doing is totally wrong, but they want power, power, power. What you see happening by the administration in this country is just a little bit of what the Antichrist will do when he rules planet Earth. Power to rule planet Earth. We should be drilling for oil and gas. And how evil. And you know what that's kind of interesting is, there's more and more about we're UFOs. You can't read anything, but there's UFOs. And the government now has pictures, and there's more and more UFOs. And then there's cattle in Texas that have their tongues cut out and they're dying. And then they're blaming on UFOs. Forget about UFOs. They didn't cut out the tongues of the cows. It was liberals. Socialists. They've cut it out because they think if you eat meat, you're evil. And cows commit farts. And that flatulence is destroying our air. Well, I've been around some of you and flatulence destroys the air. In a way, I understand that, but we're not destroying our atmosphere. So you might ask your question, who's holding the fort here in America? Right now, who is holding the fort here in America? 9. The only thing holding the fort today in America is the grace of God. The pivot of spiritually mature believers. That's it. That's the only thing. The absolute only thing. Don't go telling me about some candidate for the Republican Party. That is total bull. The only thing holding the fort today in America is the grace of God, the pivot of mature believers. And what happened with the rapture? We're all out of here. There is no believers, no believers. There is no pivot of mature believers. What's left? Those people that cut out tongues of cattle. Those who make you drive an electric car. That you're so evil. You're destroying the planet if you drive a gas-operated vehicle. Well, I drive a gas-operated vehicle. It's a Hummer that's run on gas, not electric. I will never, ever buy an electric car. I'll drive a gas-operated vehicle until they come and arrest me and put me in prison for driving a gas-operated vehicle. I've told you about one idiot came by on a bicycle. He got to be a Democrat. I'm out there by the garbage, and he rides his bike, and he stops. He goes, oh, that's what's destroying our nation. I said, what? What's destroying our nation? See that? That's a Hummer. That's what's destroying our nation. That's what's destroying our atmosphere. And I looked at him and I said, you are the dumbest Homo sapien biped with an orifice on his face I've ever heard utter anything at any time in my life. That you think that is destroying our atmosphere and the world. I said, Jesus Christ created the universe. Jesus Christ holds it together. Only Jesus Christ will destroy it. Only Jesus Christ. Not me, not the Hummer, not anybody who drives a gas vehicle. Only Jesus Christ. Well, he'd never really met somebody with at least a vocabulary more than a couple of four-letter words. The only thing holding the fort today in America is the grace of God. That's it. Now, Joel chapter 2, verse 3. A fire devoureth before them. We have the preposition lameth prefixed to the masculine plural construct of pane with the third person singular masculine suffix plus the cal perfect of the verb akal plus the noun ash. Preposition lameth el shava. It means two or four and is prefixed to the noun pane. Looks like that in the Hebrew, P-A-N-E-H, pane. And pane is the Hebrew word for face, masculine plural construct, the faces of. Third person singular masculine suffix, the faces of them. Literally, this says, to the faces of them. However, BDB, the Hebrew lexicon, says that this is an idiom and should be translated before them. And then we have Aish. Aleph, E-S-H. Now, this is one of the words for fire. There are more than one. We're going to get another word for fire a little farther on down the passage. This is one of the Hebrew words for fire. And then we have the verb akal. Aleph, A-K-A-L, akal. Now, literally, akal means to eat. However, when fire is doing the eating, it should be translated to devour, to consume, to destroy. And then it describes the total devastation of the land. The perfect tense is a prophetic perfect. The prophetic perfect looks at the day of the Lord, especially the great tribulation and the total destruction of the, especially the invasion of the king of the north, Russia, and views this event as so certain that it is put in the perfect tense as an already accomplished fact. So, corrected translation, a fire devours, consumes before them. And then we have, and behind them, a flame burneth. Now we have a second Hebrew word for fire. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the noun akher, plus the prefix to the preposition akher, with the third person plural masculine suffix, plus the PL imperfect of lahat, plus the noun lahava. The vav is a connective vav, correctly translated and then we have akher. The preposition akher. Aleph, A-C-H-A-R, akher. And akher means behind, third person singular masculine suffix, behind them. And then we have this another word for fire, and that is lehava. L-E-H-A-B-A-H, lehava. Now this is a different word than Aish we had earlier in the verse. This is literally, it means fire. However, figuratively, it is used for the ravages of war. In our verse, Joel 2, verse 3, again, BDB, the Hebrew lexicon. So figuratively, this word, lahava, is used for the ravages of war. Joel 2, verse 3. And then we have lahat. L-A-H-A-T, Lahat. And Lahat means to blaze up. To blaze up or to set ablaze. And then the P-A-L stem, that's the intensive stem of the Hebrew, emphasizing the horrific ravages of war in the Great Tribulation. So the corrected translation says, a fire devours before them, and behind them a flaming fire blazes. You got that? A fire devours before them, and behind them a flaming fire blazes. One. In the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, the military invasion by the King of the North is compared to a blazing fire. In the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, the tribulation is 7 years in length. Again, we're in the church age. We're not in, and we won't be going, if you have believed in Christ. Now, if you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, then you will go through the tribulation if the rapture is in our generation. You will. It's not going to be fun. Most of the people on planet Earth will be destroyed in that 7 year period. Most. And for those who survive, all the unbelievers who survive, Jesus Christ will kill all of them. They will be removed from planet Earth, and only that remnant of believers that He rescues when He comes back at the second advent, that small remnant of believers, the only ones they go into the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom begins with believers only. Believers only. That few remnant that Jesus Christ rescues at the second advent. So one, then the last half of the Great Tribulation, the military invasion by the King of the North is compared to a blazing fire. Two, the last half of the Great Tribulation is a time of the ravages of warfare like a blazing fire. The Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, is a time of the ravages of warfare like a blazing fire. Three, in that last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation, invading armies will come from the four points of the compass, and they will meet in the Middle East. They will meet in the Esdraelon Plain, the Valley of Megiddo. And that includes the King of the North, which today is Russia. That includes the kings of the East, that's Communist China. That includes the kings of the South, the Pan-Arabic Bloc. That includes the Antichrist, the leader of the revived Roman Empire. And they all come in to the Esdraelon Plain, the Valley of Megiddo. Four, this is Armageddon. That word is from the Bible. This is Armageddon. Five, it is a time of death, destruction, and devastation. It's a time of death, destruction, and devastation. Six, in Joel 2, verse 2, we saw the day of the Lord will be a time of darkness, blackness, gloom, and clouds, which refers to invading armies. invading armies. That was Joel 2:2. 7. Now in Joel 2 verse 3, we see that the day of the Lord is a time of ravaging fire. And that when that great tribulation ends, it will end with the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. When Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, then it will culminate with the baptism of fire. So point 8, the day of the Lord or the tribulation, the great tribulation, will culminate with the baptism of fire. So, what is the baptism of fire? Glad you asked. 1. The baptism of fire is the judgment of all tribulational unbelievers. The baptism of fire is the judgment of all unbelievers in the tribulation who are still alive at the second advent of Jesus Christ. The baptism of fire is the judgment of all unbelievers who are still alive at the second advent of Jesus Christ. Two, that includes all Jewish unbelievers and all Gentile unbelievers. That includes all Jewish unbelievers and all Gentile unbelievers who are still living when Christ comes back at the second advent. Three, the baptism of fire results in the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ on earth, beginning with believers only. The baptism of fire results in the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ, beginning with believers only. That remnant of believers who survived the great tribulation. That remnant of believers who survived the great tribulation and were rescued, they will be rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent, and he will bring them into his kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ on earth, for 1,000 years of perfect environment, 1,000 years of world peace. There will be no army, no navy, no air force, no marine corps, no coast guard. There will be no military because Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, will be ruling on planet earth and there will be world peace for 1,000 years. No wars. Perfect environment, perfect air, perfect water, perfect food. And everybody will drive a Hummer with gas. And when I come back with the Lord at the second advent, I'm going to look up my Hummer and see where it is. I'll drive around. I don't need to. I have a resurrection body, but it'd still be fun. Four. The Jewish baptism of fire is described in a couple of places. Turn over to Malachi. It's the last Hebrew book in your English text, not in the Hebrew text, but the last one in your English text. Malachi 4, verse 1, we have the Jewish baptism of fire. The Jewish baptism of fire. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer, this is all Jewish unbelievers, every Jewish unbeliever that's alive at the second advent of Christ, they will be chaff. And the chaff is what is burned up in the baptism of fire. They will all be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze. Baptism of fire, says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Now there's another passage that explains the Jewish baptism of fire. That's in Ezekiel. So turn over to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel 20, start at verse 34. I will bring you, you Jewish unbelievers, from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered. And I'll bring you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpoured wrath. The baptism of fire. I will bring you into the desert of the nations, and there, face to face, I will execute judgment upon you. The baptism of fire, every Jewish unbeliever will be destroyed and removed from the earth. As I judged your fathers in the desert of the land of Egypt, so I will judge you, declares the sovereign Lord. I will take note of you as you pass under my rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge you of those who revolt and rebel against me, every Jewish unbeliever. Although I will bring them out of the land where they are living, yet they will not enter the land of Israel. They will not enter the millennial kingdom. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So that is the Jewish baptism of fire, Ezekiel 20, 34 to 38. Point five, the Gentile baptism of fire. The Gentile baptism of fire, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, the Gentile baptism of fire. All Gentile unbelievers that are still alive at the second advent of Jesus Christ will be judged in the baptism of fire. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, this is the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. This is after the at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, comes in all of His glory. Yeah. That glory of Jesus Christ is the only light that the world will have. When Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, there will be 100% total darkness. You won't be able to see your hand in front of your face. Total darkness. When we were little shavers, we went on a trip back to Missouri to visit with my mom's family back in Missouri. And on the way back, we came back through the Southwest, came back through Arizona and New Mexico. And we went to the caverns and went down into the caverns. And we all had, they had lights and everything till we got down the inside. And then they turned all the lights out. It was, and they told everybody, don't move. When the lights are out, you stay where you are. Because there were, you could step off and go down 100 feet and this and that. They had ropes and that there, but you know, people are so stupid. And the lights were out and it was dark. And my brother started to sing, yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, Jesus loved me. And everybody laughed, but it was real nervous laughter. Turn the lights on. Well, that's what it's going to be like when Christ comes back at the second advent. Total darkness. The only light will be the glory of Jesus Christ. And every eye will see Him. And the unbelievers who are alive and see Him, well, we'll see a passage coming up. They will even ask the mountains to fall down on them. They would rather have the mountains fall down on them than have Jesus Christ judge them. They know they're in for it. So when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory, and all this glory, all this fantastic light, and the nations, that's the Gentiles, and the Gentiles will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the Gentiles, the people, from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep, all the believer Gentiles, on His right, and He will put the goats, all the Gentile unbelievers, on His left. And then the King, Jesus Christ, will say to those on His right, the Gentiles who were rescued by Christ, who are believers, He will say to them, come you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. You come into the millennial kingdom. That's the remnant of believers, Gentile believers, who survived the Great Tribulation. And then verse 41, then you will say to those on His left, that is all the unbeliever Gentiles, depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The Gentile baptism of fire. So, corrected translation. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flaming fire blazes. Well, we're just getting warmed up. Anyway. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.